the Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Dominic the Occasion. Joe Biden gave a little infrastructure address, then ordered some ice cream, along with the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, and Congressman Ron Kind, a blue dog from La Crosse. We've known Ron for a long time, if they would have only joined us here. But apparently the ice cream dishing is done because they've all moved on. The motorcade has moved on, and the traffic is moving on, and we're going to move on to a fine guest right now live via phone. He is Harvey Kay, Professor of Democracy and Justice Studies, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And we'd like to thank a friend of ours. Welcome back, Harvey. Thanks for joining us.
A pleasure to join you. Had I known you were so keen on talking to me, I would have planned to drive down to La Crosse too, but I might have ended up in a protest if I did.
Well, Harvey, I don't know, man, but we'd have definitely done some shooters with you, fella. How you doing? Joe Biden here in the state of Wisconsin. Harvey, this is all of our backyard. But why do you think Joe is coming to La Crosse in particular, western Wisconsin?
That is a good question, and I've been trying to figure that one out. And I have an idea that he is doing a counter-Trump maneuver. And late in the campaign last year, Trump made it a point of going, and this was not unusual for him. He'd come to Wisconsin, but he would also go to Minnesota because of the TV markets and all. So I was thinking, why would Biden go out to western Wisconsin and not come to Milwaukee, Madison, or Green Bay? And he should have come to Green Bay, frankly. But in any case, then he went to La Crosse. I think it has to do with the fact that he's hoping to appeal not only to the working class of La Crosse and nearby Minnesota, but also he's hoping maybe they'll get attention in the rural areas of the western part of the state, as opposed to these urban districts here in the eastern part. That would be my first theory. Okay, that was about it.
But I have you got more theories, Harvey? We got time, man. Yeah, tell us all your theories.
I've changed the question, if you don't mind. I'd say, why is he out campaigning for an infrastructure plan that isn't worth campaigning for? That, ooh, to me, is the question. Yeah, I'm serious. I mean,
I would have had an insightful question like that. You just didn't give me time, Harvey. But answer the question you have asked you, Harvey. Why do you think he's out there pitching the infrastructure bill, the compromise bill, that he doesn't necessarily want to ever sign into law?
Yeah, well, first of all, he could probably say that, I mean, one of his aides would say, well, we want to show that we're serious, okay? That we want to show that how serious the infrastructure question is. But if they're serious, they wouldn't support this compromise. Look, he talked $2 billion. Then he came down to $1.3 trillion, right? Now, all of a sudden, he's out literally on the road to promote, what, $600 billion? Is that about what we're talking? So, and that'll cover not too much. There's also, this bill itself is actually dangerous, because we don't know if it includes the possibility of privatization of public assets to pay for that $600 billion. I mean, one of the things that Trump wanted when he talked infrastructure, because of what the Republicans were envisioning, is to start using the sale of public assets to pay for new initiatives, okay? And it's outrageous, okay? Absolutely outrageous. So the question now is he really campaigning for something that might include that? Here's my thing. I kept hoping these last several months that Biden really was going to try to be some kind of progressive Democrat. And the fact is that he is over and over again he leads you to believe that might be possible. And then he turns around, and he either goes so slowly that you wonder what the hell's on really in his agenda. Or two, he's so eager to compromise. And look, it sounds like the Obama-Biden years right now, when they futzed around with the whole healthcare question, right? That's F-U-T-Z-E-D, people should know.
Okay. Thank you for that, Harvey. Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, seriously speaking, yesterday or the day before, I was doing some some talk stuff, and I was saying, look, there's real hope. I think they really do want to move on the larger infrastructure request, the big one. The big one that actually might start addressing number one.
Well, and that's the point. Harvey Kaye, professor of democracy and justice studies, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Sorry to interject, but I want to go there real quick, Harvey, if we may. The original bill was $2 trillion. That was a couple of things stacked on top of each other, to my understanding of the initial reading. But even so, if you slice it off and you get a bipartisan chunk of it, and then you slam through the rest with reconciliation, do you think that is a legitimate track to go politically speaking?
Well, let me ask you this. If you want the bigger one and you're going to go to reconciliation, why do you have to take the route of the smaller one? Why?
Because you got to get Joe Manchin to wet his bipartisan whistle, Harvey. That's why.
Let's call it Kabuki theater, Harvey.
Kabuki theater.
You know what I mean?
Look, Joe Manchin can pose all he wants. He can oppose, yes, he can oppose the filibuster change and the killing of the filibuster. He can oppose the voting rights, and he can oppose the PRO Act, which all of which makes him one of my foremost antagonists, if he ever should care who his antagonists are. Okay, but the question of infrastructure, he needs this infrastructure stuff. He desperately needs it. Why? Because a lot of people are saying he wants to run for governor of West Virginia. He needs to bring home the bacon. He needs to bring home the building. That's what he needs to do. He needs the infrastructure bill. So I'm not worried about Manchin on the infrastructure stuff. It doesn't bother me a bit, to be honest. I want to know why we need this one and not move ahead to the big one. You know what? We're already in the second 100 days of the Biden administration, and there's only one major accomplishment, which was basically a relief plan, the American Rescue Plan. And that was good, but it all runs out at the end of the year. It's a one-year initiative. They need something really big. And by the way, I think infrastructure is the one thing that can save the Biden administration from devastation, frankly. And here's what I would say. Go big. Go to your $2 trillion. If you have to, go to $4 trillion, because you want to make sure that you're bringing people into the project, one for work. But two, when you get that bill passed, here's what he now needs to do. It's three executive orders. Number one, anyone involved in infrastructure or development that receives any kind of federal dollars by way of private or public employment is guaranteed Medicare, some kind of guarantee to health care. One. Two, absolutely guaranteed, no less, preferably more, a $15 an hour minimum wage. You don't let any of these companies go out and hire people at $11 an hour, period, okay? And three, and this is equally important, you sign an executive order that says the infrastructure plan, the workers involved have collective bargaining rights if they're working in private employment or, for that matter, public employment. I mean, if he's going to, I'm sure I think we even talked about it. Was Joe Biden the next FDR back in January, somewhere like that? And I had serious doubts that it was ever going to happen. And look, all those liberal pundits in Washington, they jumped on the bandwagon. They were practically, they were spewing this line that FDR was resurrected in the form of Biden. And I was flat. It was ridiculous. Now, I didn't hear a single person saying that. I'd love to be able to say it. Go big right now, Joe. But it isn't just the bill. It also means you get three executive orders issued immediately after the House and the Senate pass the law. So it's essential. And by the way, I didn't even tell you the most important thing. The most important
Well, what's the most important part, Harvey?
I'm going to tell you. Look how divided the country is, right? Putting people to work with certain kinds of rights is a damn good start. But think about this. If we go back to the 1930s under the FDR administration and the New Deal, what we saw was that the Civilian Conservation Corps, the Works Progress Administration, the Public Works Administration, the Rural Electrification Agency, those agencies, those initiatives brought together people who previously didn't even know each other, so that all of a sudden Polish Americans and Jewish Americans and Greek Americans and Italian Americans, they were all involved in working together in rebuilding the country. And right now we desperately need a situation in which American workers, men and women in all their diversity, will join together in these kinds of projects. And working together is the means by which you transcend the divisiveness, the sheer bitterness that Trump generated in his 4 years as president.
Folks, that's Harvey K. Our fine guest. He's a professor of democracy and justice studies, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live from Shooter's Bar, La Crosse, Wisconsin. The occasion, Joe Biden around the corner getting ice cream, giving a speech about infrastructure today from La Crosse. But here's my question. I hope it's insightful for you, Harvey.
Okay.
He was supposed to bring Tom Vilsack with, talking about the president, Joe Biden, supposed to go visit a rural farm in Wisconsin, and he didn't do any of those things. He went to like a bus depot and got some ice cream, sir. And we here in the state of Wisconsin, as you well know, have a tremendous urban-rural divide. And Scott Walker, the former governor here, he made a lot of hay out of pitting the people of Wisconsin, the rural people against the urban people. And I'm not saying La Crosse isn't a good start, but how did they not make it out to a family farm in this part of the state?
You know what? You just shocked me. I was sure that was going to be the case. They were going to do that. That's shocking. I mean, that's unbelievable, in fact. Look, Vilsack's no one to brag about, but that's not the point. The point is you want to transcend the rural-urban divide. Absolutely. Or at least this way, have the ice cream and then go find out where the milk came from to make the ice cream, man. I mean, just get into it. I know that's shocking. I'm very upset to hear that. That's weird, in fact.
And we had the governor of the state of Wisconsin. We had Congressman Ron Kind, and even in Ron Kind's vocabulary, he's always planting the seed corn, uses a lot of farming analogies, uses a lot of the vernacular of the farmer, because he's living in a rural district. Do you think Joe Biden gets that? I haven't yet heard the speech. We're gonna play it for our audience here in the 3 o'clock hour, Harvey. But do you think Joe is good at talking to people in the rural part of the nation?
I think, you know, it's funny. People always say, you know, Joe Biden doesn't have the talent that, you know, Jack Kennedy or Barack Obama doesn't have the talent for speech making. And I don't buy that. Do you remember the enthusiasm he generated as a neoliberal when he went after entitlement? Remember the energy he could generate in calling for cuts to Medicare and Social Security? Do you remember that? Well, look, I mean, if this is the new Joe Biden, let him find that inner Joe Biden to do as enthusiastic a set of talks as he did, you know, on the wrong side of the line. Let him start talking like that. Does he have the energy? I don't know. He seems to have a very intimate way of conversing with people if he's not angry with them. So I think he could have pulled it off. I always ask myself this. You know, presidents are surrounded by advisors. Who are his major advisors? Or better yet, among them, who is he listening to? Because I am not at all impressed by the way in which this administration has proceeded on the agenda that they originally laid out. And I actually tweeted yesterday or this morning, Bernie, this guy's your friend, you say. Well, I think you got to tell him how to love America, okay? I mean, he's just not working, Biden. It's just not happening. And by the way, I'll be overjoyed if he transcends everything I've just said.
Well, Harvey, perhaps we can set a good example while we're in La Crosse where we're in the midst of the summer of love, Harvey. Harvey K., our fine guest, a professor at the University of La Crosse. Joe Biden's in La Crosse. The Devil's Advocates, we graduated from La Crosse. We're partying in La Crosse. Come back with us from Shooter's Bar. Yes, sir, we did.
More power
just
too.
By the skin of my teeth, though, Harvey.
I did what I came to do.
You get your clothes on. I'll buy you an ice cream.
I did what I came to do.